Okay, so I'm doing a topic a little different than ordinary. I'm going to do it's more of a halachic area, but it's about mitzvah shas man grama. Okay? So, it's a woman's topic, but we're going to take it up in somewhat of a rigorous way. Okay? So, I learned this a little with Eliza, and there was a number of points, but there's one main idea we had, so I'm going to try to get to that. But it's a tiny bit complicated. Okay, but we'll see. It should be interesting. Okay, so basically, I didn't give you guys Gemara's, but I'll read it out loud, okay? So it says like this. The first principle is the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, it's on Kiddush and Chavtas and Aleph. It says, Kol mitzvah asei shas man grama, anashim chayavim v'nashim b'turas. Okay, so all time-bound mitzvahs, I guess we could call them. Mitzvahs which time causes them. Men are obligated and women are exempt. V'chol mitzvah saseh shalom azman grama, and mitzvahs which are not caused by time, echad anashim echad hanashim chayavin, both men and women are obligated. V'chol mitzvah shalom saseh, but all negative commandments, bein shalazman grama, bein shalazman grama, echad anashim echad anashim chayavin. Men and women are prohibited. Chutz, except there are three exceptions: bal takif, bal tashchis, bal tamei lemesim. Cutting payas, shaving a beard, and becoming tamei lemes if one's a kohen. Okay, whatever those exceptions. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Yeah.
So, what are examples of lo saseh that are zman grama? Is like not eating from the karbid pesach or something?
I guess so. Yeah, something like that. Right.
Or right. I'm not breaking the bones of the karbid pesach.
Don't do malacha on. Don't do malacha on Yantif.
Right.
Don't eat on Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So fine. So what does man grama mean? So Rashi says, "As man gorim lashitavo," that the time causes it to come. So. I think classically the reason, we're not going to get really into the reason so much, but I mean the classical reason which is given is that a woman has responsibilities to the home, to the husband, to the children, and as such, it's to obligate her in the time of mitzvahs will create a very difficult conflict for her and for the house, and as such, Hashem set up in the system that there's an exemption for a woman from these mitzvahs. Okay, fine. So we're going to get into that. I mean, that is brought down. We're going to get into that, and you'll see that it's not so simple, though. Okay, although it seems to be that that is a basis, it's not so simple in how it actually plays out in some of the particulars. Okay. So the thing is like this. Okay, so the Gemara gives an example, a list of some of them, I think. Give me a second. It says... Okay. So basically, it learns it out from tefillin. Okay, how do you know when it's a submission par exempt? So it learns out from tefillin. Just like tefillin is time bound. Why is tefillin time bound? Hello? Yeah, why is tefillin time-bound? Because tefillin is a mitzvah only in the daytime and not at nighttime. And tefillin is a mitzvah only on weekdays and not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's bound by a certain time. The day, the weekday, obligates one in the mitzvah. So it's learned out that women are exempt from tefillin. And just like they're exempt from tefillin, which is time-bound, it learns out, so too that's like a general rule. Okay, that all time-bound mitzvahs women are exempted from. Okay?
What do you mean it learns it out?
Well, there's a principle is that when you have the Torah, is one of the principles which you could learn out of halachos from. The Torah is written in a way that when Hashem tells you, Torah tells you there's a class of items, and the Torah tells you a halacha about one particular, you have a right to generalize to the class as a whole. So, since there's a class of mitzvahs which are time-bound, and the Torah indirectly tells you by tefillin that women are exempt, so therefore you have a right to generalize and say it's not just a particular of tefillin, but rather it's an instance of the class as a whole. That's a mechanism called the binyanav. Okay, it's setting up a category. Okay, the Torah is written in a way that it lends itself to generalization. Okay, but okay, I don't want to get too much into it, but that's just it's a common thing in Gemara. Okay, fine. A lot of the Gemara is about how the derivation is legitimate based upon different principles. Why do you learn from tefillin? Why not learn from matzah? Because matzah is also time bound, and we know matzah women are obligated, and so that's part of the whole ins and outs of the Gemara of trying to know how do we come to that conclusion. But for our purposes, we'll take it as a given that that's the conclusion. What we want to take up, though, in particular, there's a Tosos who we'll see it's not so simple what time bound means. Okay? And just to say, just for starters, so tefillin, why is it time bound? Because you're only obligated in the day. Because you're only obligated on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay? Implying, and I think this is the case, that if men were obligated in tefillin night and day, and Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, then women would be obligated. But since it's limited to time, and it's time bound, well, now, they're exempt. But that's not really intuitive, right? The fact that the time limits it, it's a limited time, why does that make it, if you say it's like, well, it's hard for a woman to do time-bound mitzvahs, so what? Since it's only day, well, then that's hard too hard. But if it was night also, then okay, that's fine.
Well, because there's a deadline, that it has to be done by a certain time.
Okay, so the thing is like this, is tefillin is not, although this is the way tefillin is done nowadays, it's not that it's done once a day. Tefillin is really wear it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just that we don't guard ourselves properly, we don't guard our bodies, guard our thoughts. So the real halacha is that men should be wearing it all day, and if women are obligated, they should wear it all day also. Mm-hmm. Okay, but since it's only day, so therefore women aren't. But if it were that you had to wear it always, night and day, well then women would also be obligated. But that's limiting it to, so it's not like there's a deadline, it's continual. But still, if it's bound by time, then somehow that becomes an exemption for one.
Because it becomes an activity that has to happen in the morning and the evening in terms of putting it on and taking it off. So that adds like... of work each day. If you're only wearing it during the day, you have to take it off and put it back on. And if you could wear it all the time, okay, then it would be...
Okay, you could argue that. Okay, let's just let it... But you're giving an answer. It's hard to see that. I mean, you could try to say that, but it's hard to see that. If they wore it all the time, then that would be easy. But since they have to only take it on, you know, wear it just during the daytime, and then take it off, so then it becomes really hard to take off, and now we have to exempt them because that's too hard. I mean, you could say that, but it's I think it's difficult. But let's see. So now Tosas gets into tzitzis. Okay, tzitzis. So tzitzis is also, it's not clear whether women, I mean, it's clear in Psak that women are not obligated wearing tzitzis, but in the Gemara it's not clear. In the Gemara it really brings down the debate, Gemara Menachos, whether really women are obligated in tzitzis or not. And the question boils down to, is it a time-bound mitzvah or not? What does that depend upon? So there's this one Tana who learns out, Ru'isem Oso, who's Chartem is Thomas Zem, Ru'isem Oso, Prat Lixos Lila, it excludes a nighttime garment, nighttime wearing. So therefore, since it's not a nighttime mitzvah, but it's a day mitzvah, so therefore women are exempted. But if you learn, Ru'isem Oso teaches you something else to exclude a blind person or whatever, so then, since this is really night and day, and since it's night and day, it's all the time you wear a garment with. The garment which you wear has to be the four corners, so one has to put tzitzis on it. So therefore, women would be obligated also, because it has absolutely nothing to do with time. Right? But since we all, it's not night, night is excluded, so therefore, women are exempted.
How is that
lined
out that it's only day?
The Torah says, and you'll see them and remember the mitzvah sasha.
So seeing
is a function of daytime, and nighttime you don't really see. So that's an extra word. Re'isem is there to teach you an exemption, to exclude something. So the question is excluding a nighttime or is excluding a blind person who doesn't see? So that's an argument. So if you say that excluding a blind person, well then night and day. So then a woman would also be obligated. But if you say it's excluding nighttime, well then it's limiting the mitzvah to day. In which case, women are going to be exempted, which is the way we hold. Perfect. Now, there,
tiny question, just slightly off it. Mm-hmm. Are there things like that, like exemptions of blind people? Like, does the Torah ever bring something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's one position holds where blind people are exempt from all mitzvahs.
Maybe like the Torah would put in a word to exempt.
Yeah, the Torah puts in words to make all different details. Every detail of halacha, Torah, you know, has all kinds
may
of...
May or may not be in the...
Yes. Many, 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 many are. Right, extra letter, extra this, extra that, yes. Okay. Yes, it's very common. Okay. All right, so... So now here's the thing. There's two. Tosos is bothered by this idea that tefillin, that tzitzis is time bound mitzvah, and there's two props. Okay. So one problem is like this. There's a debate. There's two debates in the Gemara about tzitzis. Okay. One of them is what's called. Is it a chovas gavra? An obligation on the person, or is an obligation on the beggar, on the mana, chovas mana, on the garment. Which means, what's the difference? If you have a garment, you make a garment, a four-cornered garment, a man, and you place it in your drawer. You never wear it. Okay? Are you obligated to put tzitzis on it when it's in your drawer? Okay? So, if you say it's chovas beged, then yes. The baguette itself, a four-cornered garment, obligates you to have tzitzis on it. We don't hold that way. We hold it's only on a person who's wearing it. If a person wears a four-cornered garment, then they have to have tzitzis on it. But if the four-cornered garment is sitting in your drawer, everything's okay. Okay? So Tosa says, if you say it's only if you wear it. So I understand that you say if you wear it during the day and you don't wear it at night. So then you could say it's time-bound. But if you say that it means that it's a garment in your drawer... Well, that has nothing to do with night or day, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so hold on a second. Okay, so, but he says it gets even worse. Because even if, now here's the thing, is what does it mean night or day? Okay, let's say according to us, that it's not chayiv in your drawer. It's only chayiv when you wear it. Now, what does it mean when you say a nighttime baguette is excluded? Okay, so that's a debate in between the Rishonim. To this day, it's a debate. We don't know. But basically, the Rambam and others learn it means if you put on your garment during the day, you're obligated to wear tzitzis. Have four tzitzis on it. If you put it on at night, you're not obligated to wear tzitzis on it.
Like four-cornered pajamas?
Well, yes. It doesn't matter if you wear four-cornered pajamas, but if you wear it during the day, then you have to put on tzitzis. If you wear it at night, if you wear your suit, whatever, at night, then you don't have to. It all depends upon when, what time of day it is. And then you could see it being time-bound. Fine. But Tosus doesn't hold that way. Tosus says it's about the type of garment. Pajamas are called excess lila. And pajamas don't need tzitzis. Even if you wear them in the middle of the day. And a suit, or whatever, is excess yom, is a daytime garment. And therefore, it does demand tzitzis, no matter when you wear it, even if you wear it at night. Right? So if you're like a toll booth worker, or I don't know, whatever, it's some job that you do work in the middle of the night. So when you go to work, according to the Tosos, you'd have to wear your tzitzis. And when you go to bed in the morning, wearing your pajamas, then you wouldn't have to have your tzitzis on it. Okay? So Tosos says, so that's not time-bound. It's just in the garment. Right? And arguably, if you say that it's a din of tzitzis even in your drawer, has to have tzitzis on it, presumably it's going to be the same thing. The nighttime and the daytime is going to be pajamas in your drawer don't need tzitzis, but clothing, you know, day clothing in your drawer do need tzitzis. Right.
So, which statement is this? What was this hinging on? Like the daytime and the nighttime? I mean, I got the
Ksus Laila.
I know, but what was that coming from? Like, where was the?
There was a reason. Also, teaches you to exclude Ksus Laila.
Right, Ksus Laila or.
Well, the Kabbalah Gemara says Ksus Laila, but it's not clear how you interpret Ksus Laila. Ksus Laila mean a garment which is made for a night, or does it mean a garment which you are currently wearing at night? So again, if you say that it means when you're wearing it, everything is fine. But Tosa says, but he doesn't hold that way. Tosa says it depends upon the garment itself. Right? And certainly, he says, if you hold it, even if it's in the drawer, you have to wear it. So if it's in the drawer, then what does that mean to do at night? Arguably, again, it's just going to be pajamas. It's kind of the same question. It's just two versions of the same question. Point is, how is that? It's man grama. But the Gemara says that it's man grama. Right? You guys with me?
Depends what grandma means.
Yes, it depends what grandma means. Yes, but that's a question. I'm not asking you if you have an answer. I'm just saying you understand the question, right?
Yeah, these are all formulations of grandma that I never
thought of. No one did, right? Exactly, that's why Tosis is raising the problem. Tosis didn't either. So he's saying it sounds crazy, it sounds, right?
Yeah.
But yet, it's that's why, but Tosis answers it for us. Our goal is to meet him to interpret Tosis' answer. We don't have to answer it. Tosis raises the question, he's going to say an answer, and we're going to be trying to understand Tosis' answer. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, you don't have to think yet. Okay? Are we good on the phone? Who's there? Tamar? Is anyone else there?
Hi, it's Naomi. It's kind of hard to hear the phone.
It is? Tamar, is it hard for you to hear the phone as well?
I mean, it's a little quiet, but it's okay. Okay. It's okay.
Okay, I don't really know what else to do. I'm using the normal phone, and I can switch the telephone. You think it's like, it's different than normal?
It's like
choppy,
right?
Okay.
But it's okay if you don't
know where you're going. Okay, give me a second. I'll try a different phone. Whoa. Okay. Is this any better or
it's the same? Kind of the same, but it's okay. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay, so Tosa says like this. He says a very short answer. The Omeri, Kivan Shechiyuvo Taloi, since the obligation is dependent upon Bima Shehazman Garam Levishasa Bayom, with the fact that the time causes its wearing during the day. Okay, that's a mouthful, but that's what he says. Since its obligation is dependent upon the fact that the time causes its wearing during the day, Yeshla Lichashir Zman Grama. It's considered Zman Grama. Try again. Shezman Levishasa Gorei Machiev. Because the time of its wearing, day, causes the Chiev. So it's Zman Grama, day causes the Chiyav. Why does day cause the Chiyav? Because day causes the wearing, something like that. And therefore, that's considered Zman Grama.
So, that's like a third thing that's caused. I mean, it's not the person, it's not the garment.
Right. Well, the person and the garment aren't to do with Zman Grama. That's just the question is. That's a different question.
That discussion is what made us aware of this issue.
Yeah, but that discussion preceded Zman Grama. That discussion has nothing to do with women. That's just a discussion about the mitzvah in general.
Okay.
Now the question is, given that discussion, now the question is, how does it end up becoming Zman Grama? But yeah, I hear what you're saying, though. It's not really the Zman which is causing it. It's the person wearing it. Or it's the person, or it's the garment. Yeah, but you could say it's the person wearing it during the day. See, if you say, Tosfos isn't bothered by if you wear it during the day. If you said that whenever you wear it during the day, you have to put on tzitzis, that's what Tosfos is fine with. But that's what Tosfos doesn't hold as the case.
But also, when we say that a mitzvah asesh, she has man grama, women are patur, I never thought it was because the time is what provoked the obligation. I thought it was just a circumstantial thing. Like, if there's any time barriers around this mitzvah, then we're not obligated.
Okay.
Now it seems like Mangam actually has like this legal definition of like, it has to be that tied into the definition of the mitzvah is that the time is causing the obligation.
Well, that's what Grama technically means, cause.
Right.
Right.
Never thought of that way.
Right. Yeah, no, we say time-bound mitzvah, but I mean, Zman Grama means Zman causes it. So there are definitions which say, I mean, the way that it sounds, that's Rashi says the time causes it. But the Rambam, when he describes it, he uses a little bit of a different language, but which is more that it, like, exists in a time.
Right.
Exists in a time. But still, so I can say it exists in the day, or exists in the night.
But I just never realize that the zman was part of the definition of the...
Well, it doesn't say to be part of the definition, but it has to be grama. Yeah, this is what the Rambam says. He said, this is the grama, he shechobas asiyasa b'zman nesuyam, that his obligation is in a specific time. Yishalobosu asman, and not in that time, ein chiyu v'chal. There's no obligation. Kigon hasaka v'alula v'ashofar v'tfilin v'atzitzis. Lefi shechobasam b'yom v'lo b'layla. Because they're obligated day and not night. So, zman grama means that the obligation exists in a certain time, and not in a different time. Those are mitzvahs where the obligation devolves at all times. Mezuzah, putting up a fence and giving tzedakah. Right. So that fits the definition by tzitzis. If you say, like the Rambam, that you only have to wear tzitzis when you wear it during the day. But the Rambam, Tosis doesn't hold that. He holds it means pajamas don't have to have tzitzis, but clothing, a suit, let's call it a suit, does have to have tzitzis, a four-cornered suit. So that'll be our paradigmatic daytime garments. Okay, so a suit versus pajamas. So Tosis is saying is that a suit demands tzitzis, but whether there is night or day, whether you wear night or day, and pajamas don't require tzitzis whether you wear night or day. So how is that? How is that time? So he says, well, the time causes it to be worn, and the time and the day, and therefore, somehow that becomes man grama. I mean, it's a very cumbersome sentence, what he's saying, right? But it's not clear what he's even getting at. But he's talking a lot. But it doesn't quite, yeah. It's very removed also from the experiential idea. Like, uh-oh. Time's coming, I better rush to the mitzvah, I can't do it, I'm busy with other stuff. Like, what has nothing to do with that? It doesn't seem. It's just like some technical cause, like Aristotelian causation, I don't know, whatever. It kind of becomes like this very removed from the practical experience of whatever. Especially because, like, tzitzis, what do? You have a garment, which is four-cornered, you tie tzitzis on them, and then whenever you wear them, they have tzitzis on them. Right? It's not, I mean, it's not like every time you put on your tzitzis, your garment, you tie it and retie it every single time. I mean, nowadays we just have these, like, four-cornered garments. But it used to be their garments were four-cornered garments. That was a standard type of a thing. You wear a toga or some sort of a wrap or whatever it is. So it's a four-cornered garment. So you have to put tzitzis on that four-cornered garment. And then whenever you wear it, you can't wear a four-cornered garment, which doesn't have tzitzis. So, but it wasn't like a separate thing which you wear. Our shirts, our pants, don't have four corners. So if you wouldn't wear that white thing which we wear, which we call tzitzis, you'd never be doing the mitzvah. You wouldn't be sinful because you're not wearing a four-cornered garment. But the minhag is to specifically wear a four-cornered garment in order to involve yourself in the mitzvah. Fine. But it used to be they many of their garments were four-cornered, and the men would have to make sure they'd affix tzitzis on the end of it. But now, and the woman, in theory, now what would be the problem? If a woman would do that, well, that's hard. What does it do with that, right? But the time, it's only during the day. But it's not exactly, like, even if you say the Ramam is only during the day, it just means when you put on a garment during the day, you have to make sure it says this. It's not like you have to start doing the whole process of tying the knots and whatever, right? But whatever, that's an aside. The point is, what's Tosas talking about? That's really what I understand. Again, since the kivon shechiyuvo tali b'masha hazman garam levishasa bayom, since its obligation is contingent upon that the time causes its wearing in the day, it's considered zman grama, the time causes it, shehaz, because the time of its wearing causes the obligation. Okay, that's the translation.
Is this question specific to tzitzis, or could we ask the same question on a shofar or something like that, where it...
Shofar is fine, because shofar says Rosh Hashanah obligates you to blow a shofar. So the cause of the obligation is the holiday called Rosh Hashanah, which is the time. But the cause of tzitzis is a suit, a four-cornered suit, wearing a four-cornered suit, mm-hmm. whether it's you wear it at night or whether you wear it at day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a suit is only a suit. because the time of day is when you wear suits.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wore them at night, they wouldn't be a suit, they'd be pajamas. So the time is somehow part of the, right? The cause of it being chayev. Because why is it chayev? Because it's daytime garment. Day, that's a time, sounds like a time. Oh, time causes it. It sounds like he's saying something like that.
Sounds like it's forcing you to say that, like, the way we dress is like not. I don't know. I feel like it's forcing you to say like a very weird causality. Like the time of day is what propels people to, you know, do things and dress in certain ways, and therefore the garment is a day garment.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not addressing the question of why specifically the Zman Grum are the ones that women would be exempt from, right?
No. No, we're trying to define for now what it means, Zman Grum.
What does it mean, Zman Grum?
What does Zman Grum mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right, based upon Tosus is instructing us, but trying to decode what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll tell you what we're thinking. Yeah, again.
I'm just wondering if we understood why it would be specifically the mitzvah shezman grama, that might help us understand why this example is specifically a mitzvah shezman grama.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. So, in my experience, or my opinion, this is my opinion, in learning Gemara, it goes somewhat the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way we would figure out what's the idea of zman grama is by first understanding what Zman Grama is,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing if that helps lead us towards an idea of what's the significance of Zman Grama.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, we're just kind of sitting back and thinking, what do we think is Zman Grama? As opposed to when we're dealing with a halachic area, because Zman Grama is a halachic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't, arguably we don't understand what Zman Grama is, at least from the way Tosas is talking about it. So we're not yet in a position to understand the basis of it. And through defining it clearly, perhaps that will help us.
Right, and is it possible that, you know, in the same way that there are foods that are kosher and foods that are not kosher, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with foods that are kosher, it's just a category. Like, this
right.
is kosher, this
right.
is, the foods that are not kosher, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with them. So maybe it's just like, here's a category of mitzvahs that women are exempt from because they have other obligations. It's not, there's nothing about Zman Grama that leads to them being...
Perhaps, but either way, that's kind of my point, is that we have to define the category. Because
mm-hmm.
it is a halakha category, and
mm-hmm.
it's not just a philosophical reason, it's a halakha category. And I'm fine to say, this is the halakha, and we don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But what's bothersome is we don't even understand what the category is. Because
mm-hmm.
what is the category? Time mitzvahs which occur in a certain time, that I understand. But Tosus is showing us it's not so simple, because
mm-hmm.
tzitzis isn't in a certain time. Tzitzis is in a certain kind of garment. So that's why I think we have to understand, define what the category itself is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Forget why. Exactly. Let's just deal with what is the category, and that's what we're trying to understand. That's what we're trying to do in halacha. That's what I'm saying is different than what we know we're trying to do. I mean, maybe some philosophical interpretation could emerge afterwards. But when you're doing a Gemara or a halacha, an area of halacha, you're trying to understand the formulation, you know, and forget putting aside the philosophy. Maybe philosophy could emerge afterwards, but maybe not. It's not really what we're trying to do. Yeah, and like in kashrus, fine, what does it mean? A kosher animal? Now, why? Whatever, that's a different type of a discussion. But if you're studying the sugya about kosher, you're not going to bring in, well, because you have to control yourself or whatever. You're just going to define what does it mean, a kosher animal, split hooves, whatever it is. Yeah. Okay. Want to say something? Yeah. Okay, so we wanted to say something like this, okay? I'm going to do this in two steps, okay? So, when you're dealing with the mitzvah, you have like the, I guess you could say the idealized conceptual mitzvah, and then you have the way that mitzvah becomes concretized in a practical sense, okay? Like what you practically have to actually do, but then that practical actual doing is the concretization of legalistic concretization of a more of like an inyan, of a more abstract type of a commandment. Okay? And I'll have to explain to you what I mean, but I'm just going to talk what I'm saying. Is that the idea of Zman Grama, according to Tosas, is not about practically, are you practically bound in this time or that time? But it goes by, is the conceptual nature of the mitzvah caused by time? Irrespective of whether the practicalities result in time bound. Okay, now that's very vague and abstract. But let me talk more specifically. Okay. So, like this, is that the Torah is going for, the idea what the Torah wants is when you wear clothing during the daytime, you put on tzitzis. When you wear your clothing during the day, you make sure you put tzitzis on them, and that's why it's time bound. That's the idea. When you wear clothing, the Torah wants men, when they're wearing clothing during the day, they should make sure they have tzitzis on them. When they're wearing clothing at night, then they don't wear tzitzis on them. Okay, that's kind of the idea of the mitzvah. Okay, but. Let's take the position hold, even when they're in the drawer, you're obligated, okay? So, he's saying it's like this. He doesn't deny that that's the idea. Why in the world does your drawer have to have tzitzis, right? It's just a garment sitting in your drawer. But the answer is because something in your drawer is part of your wardrobe, and it's meant to be worn. And therefore, the Torah obligates you before you actually put it on. But it's once it's in your wardrobe, the Jewish wardrobe has tzitzis. Just like a Bas Yisrael doesn't have short skirts in her drawer, or whatever it is, because that's not the way a Bas Yisrael wears, that's not her clothing. So it's one thing, even if you just never wear it, it's just not, there's no Isser like that, but whatever, that's just not the clothing which you have. So too, according to this position, the four-cornered garments of Jews, of men, have to have tzitzis on them, okay? So, but because these are the clothing which men wear when they go out during the day. So it's halachically, the Torah pushed the obligation prior to when you actually walk out the door wearing the thing. It pushed the obligation to when it's in your drawer, okay? Whether that happens to be you put it in your drawer at night or a day, whether you make it at night or a day. It's not in your drawer, by the way. It just means when you own it, when you have the bag. So even if you make it at night, but you're making a daytime garment, and you're making it to be worn. So the practical obligation of putting the tzitzis devolves upon you the moment you make the beged. But because this is a beged yom, it's a daytime worn wearing beged, and the Torah wants the daytime, the clothing which men wear, to have tzitzis. So even though practically the mitzvah is not being done at day or night, because it's done whenever you make the garment, according to that position. But it's about, the essence of the mitzvah is that the clothing that men wear during the daytime have tzitzis, and therefore that's a time-bound mitzvah. It's about the clothing, the daytime clothing of men. Nighttime clothing men don't have to, daytime clothing men do have to. So the Zman Grama is not measured by when you practically actually have to do it. But it's that's a purely technical, legal question. When, at what point does the Torah place the obligation upon you? But the idea of Zman Grama is more about the inyan of the mitzvah, the general idea of the mitzvah, not how it's actually implemented in a concrete way. Okay? Similarly, even though according to us who hold that you don't have to put it on the garments when it's in the drawer, it's only when you wear it. So we all know it's only when you wear a garment. Okay. Now the question is, it's only when you wear a daytime garment, right? That's what the Torah is interested in. Is daytime garments have to have tzitzis, right? Well, how do you define a daytime garment? Do you define a daytime garment by when it's ordinarily worn? Or do you define a daytime garment by when you're actually wearing it at this moment? That's a debate between the Rishonim. The Rambam says you define a daytime garment by when you're actually wearing it. If you're wearing it during the day, well, then it's a daytime garment. If you're wearing it at night, it's a nighttime garment. Tosafos says, no, the way the Torah defines a daytime garment is based upon the nature of the garment itself. Is it dressy or is it comfortable? Whatever, there are different kinds of garments, right? So that's, again, a practical halachic, you know, formulation, is that when the Torah wants you, the demands daytime garments to have tzitzis, how exactly is it formalized? Does it go by when he's actually doing it, or does it become a property of the garment itself? Similarly, when are you obligated to do it? When you make the garment and even put it in the drawer, or only when you actually wear it? So these are halachic details about how the obligation sets itself up on a practical level. But everyone, however it's set up halachically, technically, the idea of the mitzvah is that the Torah is saying men's daytime garments, the garments that when a man walks out in the street wearing a four-corner garment, he should have something we could look at and say, and that's not when he goes at nighttime, he can do whatever. The idealized man, when he walks out wearing his pajamas, whatever, who cares? It's a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah. But again, not when practically he's doing it, tying it, acting. It doesn't matter when he's practically acting. What matters is the conceptualized form of the mitzvah, not the practical expression of the mitzvah. Okay? So that's what I'm saying, is that what Tosa says, Giva tzi if it fets, kiven shechiyuvo taloi, since its obligation is contingent, b'masha hazman gorem levishaso bayom, with the fact that the time causes its wearing during the day, it's considered zman grama shazman levishaso gorem achiyuv. The time of wearing it causes the chiyuv. The fact that the daytime is when it's worn is what causes it to be chayiv. So you're not doing it at the day, but it's the quality of day in the baged which causes it to be chayiv. So that you see that it's based upon time. It's just not practically done at a time, but it's the idea of the garment, which kind of garment, the garment which is generally worn during the day. Okay? You with me? Okay. So now, here's the problem. Sounds great, I think. But the problem is, if I were to ask you, if I would tell you this whole story, that there's two parts of the mitzvah. There's the practical, legalistic, you know, obligation. And then there's the inyan, the general idea, theme of the mitzvah. Okay? And now I tell you that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Okay? What would you think we would go by in terms of determining whether it's a time-bound mitzvah? Would you go by the practical, legal expression of the mitzvah? Or would you go by the idealized conceptualization of the mitzvah?
Practical.
Practical. Because?
Because women are practical.
Okay. Good. Why else?
We're dealing with a practical issue.
Yes, arguably we're dealing with a practical issue. Why should it be that men are obligated in these mitzvahs and not women? Arguably, because practically a woman has responsibilities in the home, which are take up our time, and she can't just drop everything to do all the time about mitzvahs that her man is doing, and the competing obligations make it not practical to be involved in time about mitzvahs. That's the way we normally think of it. Now, that should totally go by the practical implementation of the law. Is it practically at a certain time, saying, now is the time, get up and do it? That's what matters. But why should it in any way be based upon whether the theoretical, conceptual, idealized form of the mitzvah isn't having to do with time? That's totally, it should be totally irrelevant in terms of the idea of time-bound mitzvahs, right?
Right.
Isn't it in
and
of itself an idea? Like, there is an idea for women and what a woman's doing that is in the conceptual realm. I'm not matching a conceptual to conceptual, but like otherwise, what are you going to do? Like go through and just like comb through and pick out which halachos have a time element? Like that's not, that's just, I don't know, it's like an ugly...
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd go by the halacha, that if the halachic expression is in time, then, I mean, I'm not saying there's no such thing as the halachic expression. I'm just saying is that Tosis is saying is that's not what it goes by. But there is a practical expression. If the law involves time, then... Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're just saying, look, this is the way to halachically pull it off. Like, since the idea is time-bound, this is the way to define it halachically.
In any case, all the halachic practical expressions would be included, right? And it's just like, why is it also pulling on ones where the derivation is from?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if you have,
yeah,
you know, maybe opposite ones. Like,
I somehow have the time and the concept of it and the practical, doesn't it?
Right. Right, like it has time and the concept. Yeah, I don't know if you can have that, right? No, the opposite. This is where you have time and the concept, the practical doesn't. Right? Because, right, it's the idea, the concept is that it's a day garment.
Right.
So you want something which is in the time, is not part of the concept, but practically it's a time. How about benching? So like benching, so it has nothing to do with time, and women are obligated to bench, arguably, because there's other out on you. But yeah, you have to bench at a certain time. It's not always so easy to bench, right? You have a diaper, you have this, you have that, right? I mean, it's not always so easy. So there's a time, but conceptually it's not, right? But in theory, what's time bound? You have to do it at a certain time. I mean, yeah, you don't have forever to bench. If you wait too long, you're going to digest your food, right? Yeah, but my question is, though, I don't, you could try to say that, but I don't see why you couldn't have formulated Zman Groma to be that practically it's a time-bound mitzvah, like Tosas Avina. Look, Balman is, do you have to do it at a certain time? Is the Asiya in time, or is the Asiya not in time? Right? Not is the theoretical, I mean, this is a chiddush, this whole way of looking at a mitzvah. It's not the only way to look at a mitzvah. It's a strange, it's something which we never even thought of until Tosfos is kind of presenting it, and it's hard to even formulate. So to say now that this is the only way you could formulate as my grandma, it seems difficult. Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to say like this. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking to the the U.S. legal system and like the way that a law is constructed, it can either be one of two things. It could be, it became the law of the land because it was dictated by a need or a consensus or whatever.
Okay.
And then the other way is, I think, like...
case
precedent,
case
studies.
Okay.
So, I'm just thinking, if there's a law that was put in the books, which, I'll just give a stupid example, like, there's a law that you can't drive commercial vehicles on certain roads, right? The idea is that they don't want it to be crowded with big trucks.
Okay.
But if you take the same minivan and you put mom and pop's painting on the side of it, it becomes a commercial vehicle, and then you're not allowed to drive on that road.
Yeah.
So the ideal of the law is that you shouldn't have the big trucks on the road. But practically, this minivan would be liable.
Okay,
so I was in court when the judge...
So what's the thing?
So the point... The
point apply it to here.
So the point is that if... there's this ideal category, the judge can decide, oh, I'm going to let this little van go because it wasn't in the spirit
of why this, the ideal of why this law was created.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking the ideal of time-bound laws, even if practically you can wear, you know, you can wear your tzitzis in the night time.
Right.
The ideal of that law was that it is a daytime law, because you have to be able to see it and think of certain concepts.
Right.
And so that's why the women would not be obligated, because of the concept of it is what's...
Right, but why does the fact that the concept is time-bound not obligate women? Who cares that the concept is time-bound? Why should women be exempt from mitzvahs where the concept is time-bound? I understand why you're saying women are exempt from mitzvahs which are practically time-bound, because you're practically binding them to a time where their life may not allow for it.
Mm-hmm.
But why should they be exempted from mitzvahs which are theoretically time-bound? Why is that relevant, whether theoretically they're in time? Isn't the whole issue here a practical one? And shouldn't it be measured by the practical expression of the thing, not the theoretical?
Maybe it's optics. It's like, if a woman is seen doing something that the spirit of it is time-bound, then it almost negates the whole system of mitzvah slash
yishas. Why? I just say, if it's time-bound practically, then she's exempt, and if she's not time-bound practically, then she's not exempt.
But when you see tzitzis, you think of it as a day mitzvah. You think of it as, oh, I can't...
Well, yeah, but halacha doesn't always just go by what someone who thinks of without learning into the area.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to go by the way it's actually formulated.
But the way that you're formulating it now, you're kind of acting like those mitzvos which are time-bound in authority, not the practical and the...
theoretical. So,
yeah. You're kind of making it sound like it doesn't have a practical time-boundness, which it still does have.
No, it doesn't, because if I... whenever I put whenever I happen to wear this garment, my suit, night or day, I have to have tzitzis on it. And whenever I wear my pajamas, night or day, it doesn't have tzitzis on it. So there's nothing at all to do with when I wear it, or when I do it. Or according to the other side, when I put them in my drawer, whether I put it there night or day, if it's a suit, I'm going to have to put on tzitzis. If it's pajamas, I don't have to put on tzitzis. So there's no practical time involved in it. It just goes, it's just in the theoretical, what kind of garment is it? And in the abstract, what is it, a guy walking around during the day or walking around during the night? But not practically. Practically, it's irrelevant.
Right.
You can also prepare it. You can do it in...
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. You prepare it during the night. Tie them on at night. Tie them on in the day. Tie them on whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. On a practical level, there's no... not night, not day, not whatever. Just...
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Could it be that the... time-bound mitzvahs have their own psychological burden, whether or not they're practically kept
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't know if the psychology goes by the abstract theoretical formulation, which Tosis has to tell us about. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Someone was saying something on the phone?
I have a question, which is, I've also heard it before that this explanation that the mitzvah says has man grama, so that women have, you know, time for the other obligations that they have in their life and that kind of thing. Where's that from? Or like, do we have to say that? Like, maybe it's just a different reason, and that's why it doesn't seem to fit. Maybe that's not the reason.
Yeah, you don't have to say that. I mean, the Vudram says something like that, but that's negotiable. If you could say something else that would make this reasonable, then, you know, kol hakavod.
Maybe it's just like, the way halacha works is that, like, in the abstract, it wasn't necessarily possible for women to, like, do every mitzvah because of just like the quantity and the burden of all of her responsibilities. So maybe once like the halachic decision was made that women aren't going to be obligated in like time-bound mitzvot, halacha didn't distinguish between mitzvot that are time-bound due to practical time-boundness or due to like a more abstract theoretical time-boundness. It's just, this is a category that women aren't obligated in. It's, we're looking at it too literally maybe by saying that it's only those that are practically, like she can't practically achieve them. It's just anything that falls under that category, period, she's not obligated in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. It just...
I know halacha does have, like, certain ways of working that's, like, systematic and that it wouldn't...
Yes, but... Yeah, you could just say, like, this is the way it is. And it's not really in line with the idea.
It's a little more than that.
Like, this, it really shouldn't have been that way, but this is the way halacha set up the category and therefore stop asking questions. Yeah, okay, you could say that. I have a different idea, but you could say that. Yeah, I know. I'm asking a funny kind of a question. I'll grant that. I'm asking, like, I guess, somewhat of a philosophical question. Okay? Because halacha, you could say, look, this is the definition. Just saying is it's hard to... It's nice to have some sense of what we mean by... What's the sense of Mitzvah Shema Gavon Hashem Maduros? And this halachic formulation doesn't work out with that. So you could just say, okay, well, tough break. Maybe a sense of conscience doesn't work out with pig and whatever, but this is the halacha and whatever. It's true, you could say that. But I have a way that to explain it that I think is reasonable. You know, is not something we just have to accept. But you're right, it's not, you don't have to answer the question I'm asking.
Yeah, what?
Okay. So I was thinking like this, is that maybe it's a little bit, like, let me ask you this. Well, you're saying time-bound mitzvahs. Let's look in terms of the burden which a mitzvah places upon a woman in her life, and right? So you say time-bound mitzvahs places that burden, right? But even non-time-bound mitzvahs. Mitzvahs asay, like I understand mitzvahs lo asay. Mitzvahs asay, don't do this. So I don't care if you're a man or a woman, don't do it. But mitzvahs asay, benching for instance, is also not so easy. Right? Whether it's time-bound or it's not time-bound, so every mitzvah asay means you got to do this mitzvah. So whether you call it time-bound or you don't call it time-bound, isn't it, in theory it also, it's the same idea, same problem. And if you had to wear tzitzis all day long, or tefillin all day long, then it wouldn't be a burden. Then it's even more of a burden, arguably. So what's the sense if you say the idea is because a woman is obligated to her home, and therefore it's difficult to obligate her, and the Torah allows her to be exempt from those types of mitzvahs. So then it's on the, when you think into it, it's not so simple that that's only true by time-bound mitzvahs. It arguably is true by any mitzvahs asay. So I'd like to suggest it is true by any mitzvahs asay. In theory, every mitzvahs asay partakes of this problem. Okay? But the Torah is willing to say, on certain mitzvahs, the Torah is willing to say, it's okay, women don't have to do those. In other mitzvahs, which we'll sort of loosely say for now are more important, the Torah is not willing to say, you get a free pass, so to speak. Okay? It demands that, it doesn't matter. Man, woman, you have to do it. It's hard, I don't care, it doesn't matter. This mitzvah is not negotiable. Okay? In other words, or to be more specific, there are certain mitzvahs that men have to do, which they have to do irrespective of the time. They're just responsibilities that Jews have to do. When you eat and you're full, you have to praise God. It doesn't matter whether it's night or it's day or it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or any other day. It just, this is the responsibility of a Jew. But what about women? Well, what's the difference? There's no difference. This is something which is, men have to do it at every hour of the day. There's no difference. Women also. But then there are other mitzvahs which are relegated to a certain time. Okay? Let's say sitting in a sukkah. Sitting in a sukkah is a mitzvah to remember, let's say to remember the fact that Hashem, you know, took care of us in the desert for 40 years. I don't have to do that right now. Right now we're not sitting in a sukkah, right? But at certain times, God determines, you have to stop what we're doing and do that mitzvah. At other times, we don't have to be doing that mitzvah. So it's not like I have to always do it. It's just a mitzvah that exists in a certain limited situation at a certain time. So just like it exists for men in a limited time, it also exists on a limited group of people. The Torah only obligated men in doing that. In other words, it's a contingent mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which doesn't have to be part of your life. It's not part of your life all the other days of the year, but it's important in the Torah that there is this reminder of Sukkot, of the fact that there are 40 years in the desert. It's important that, not all the time, but it has to exist. So Hashem relegates it to a certain time and to a certain class of people. Whereas the fact that it's a Zman Grama, like the idea of the mitzvah, is not always, but it is limited to a certain time, indicates that the mitzvah isn't like an intrinsic responsibility, but rather it's dependent upon a certain situation. There are times where you have to do it, and there are times where you don't have to do it. And there are people who have to do it, and there are people who don't have to do it. So it's like, as opposed to a mitzvah which is ein hazman grama, it means it has nothing, there's no time where you can't do it. It's always. This is just part of your house, always has to have mezuzah. Night, day, chol, Shabbos. It's just part of the Jewish life, is that you have a mezuzah in your home. So just like men have to do it all the time, because this is part of the Jewish state of life, so women also have to do it. But the fact, again, the fact that it's not at all times, that the mitzvah is only at a certain time and not at a different time, indicates that it's not necessary. There could be times where you're not involved in that mitzvah. And just like there are times where it's okay to not be involved in the mitzvah, it's okay for certain people to not be involved in that mitzvah. It indicates the nature of the necessity of that mitzvah to be done. So for example, tzitzis, it's important to have a reminder on your garment that Hashem, of all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Is it always important? No. In theory, the nighttime garments, it's not necessary, just in your daytime. Okay, so then maybe that's only important for men to do it, and women don't have to do it. The same way men don't have to do it at night, women don't have to do it even during the day. So the fact that, now that doesn't matter whether practically speaking, men are tying it on at night or day. It's not about that. It's about the abstract idea of the mitzvah. Is the mitzvah targeting men always, whenever they're wearing the garments, or is it targeting men wearing the garments during the day? It's not about practically when you're doing it and the time it takes up to do it. It's the fact that it's time bound shows you it's not necessary to obligate men at night, and thereby also reason it's not necessary to obligate women in doing that. Is it that hard? Does it matter when she does it? The point is, all mitzvahs are difficult. All mitzvahs asay present a difficulty and a challenge. And the Torah is, when it is a mitzvah, which is a contingent mitzvah, then it says that's going to be on the class of men. When it's a mitzvah which is not a contingent, it doesn't exist in any time. It's a constant. It's always. It doesn't exist in any particular time. Rather, it's always. Well, then it's not negotiable. So tefillin, if you held that tefillin are night, day, Shabbos, Chol, Yontif, well, then tefillin are just part of the Jewish way Jews carry themselves. Well, then it's going to have to be on women also. But the fact that tefillin are a sign which has to be shown at certain times, and at other times it's not necessary to show that sign, well, then for women, they don't have to show that sign. It's okay to relegate that mitzvah to certain times and to certain people. Good?
Yeah, that's a good definition. I don't know why I keep thinking about Purim specifically.
Oh.
And Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Also, like,
yes.
Time down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Right?
That's another good proof.
Yeah.
Purim, yeah.
We have to
right.
Light
menorah. Exactly. So that's what they say is when it comes to Purim and Hanukkah, so there the Rabbanan say, the Gemara says that since Afhein Hayuvos Hanei, since women were also involved in the miracle, they were a key part of the miracle, therefore women are also obligated in those mitzvahs. Okay? So you could ask like this, if the whole idea of the exemption of the time-bound mitzvahs is because it's time-bound, right, and it's hard to do mitzvah in time, so then who cares that they were also in the miracle? It doesn't take away from the fact that it's time-bound and it's also difficult, as every family knows the difficulties of Purim. It's not so easy to have everyone hear the Megillah, right? So it's also time-bound. So, oh, they were in the miracle. Okay, well, they're also in Kibbol Moach Shemayim and Kriyat Shema. They're also a lot of things, right? They're also in the desert for 40 years. But if you say that time bound when it's not so much, this is what's interesting, the way I look at it. It's not that time bound is an exemption. It's that not time bound is an obligation. Okay, is the fact that it's a mitzvah to midios, it's like a constant mitzvah, is what necessitates that woman do it. So then you could argue, afenosones is another factor, which could say, even though it's true, it's limited to a time, but that factor of afenosones, for a reason, is enough to obligate them, despite the fact that it's time bound, the fact that it's difficult. Look, mitzvahs which are benching is also, even though it's difficult, well, you have to do it. It's constant, and therefore it has to be done. So afenosones is indifferent, another reason which will say, despite the difficulty, they're chayav anyways. And there's an idea, there's one thing I remember, there's an idea which doesn't 100% fit with this, but Rebbe once had a thing, the Rambam at the end of Sefer HaMitzvos, he lists the mitzvahs asai, he lists all 365 mitzvahs asai, but then he says there are certain mitzvahs which exist that are contingent upon certain conditions. And someone may never do them, so the base of Mekdash, it depends upon if you have a pit and someone falls into the pit or whatever. Certain mitzvahs asai are limited circumstances, but there are 60, I think it's 60 mitzvahs, which are always, okay, which are constant. And he has, I think it's 48 for a woman, which are constant, okay? So Rabbi wanted to say is, what's like, who cares how many? Like, why is that relevant? Why is Rabbi making a list of how many there are? And he lists them off one by one. So he wanted to say, it's like part of the system of mitzvahs, is there's certain mitzvahs which are meant for very specific situations. But there are other mitzvahs which are meant for the Jewish life has constantly is always encountering mitzvahs. And there are 60 mitzvahs, which are you're always going to be doing those mitzvahs. Those are just part of your life. So that's like an idea, is that there's this class of mitzvahs which are like fixed part of lives. And what I'm saying is that when it comes, that's what I'm saying is mitzvah she'en hazman grama. Those mitzvahs are not contingent upon situations, and thereby they're also not gender specific. And in fact, the Mishnah now, if you look at it, well, it says, "Kol mitzvah she'azman grama nashim beturos." V'chol mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman grama nashim chayavos. Because it's really, you normally emphasize the first part, that zman grama is ptur, is an exemption. But I'm saying is no. In a sense, the emphasis is really mitzvah she'ein hazman grama nashim chayavos. Okay? Good. Any questions there? Yeah.
So is the system set up that even though women are putzer from these mitzvahs, mitzvahs are good, they're good for you,
right.
It's important
right.
to you, are we lacking because we're putzer, or is it set up and based on, you know, general, like women's personalities, whatever that...
Right,
you
know, I don't
like,
know.
It's okay.
Understand. I don't know, that's a good question. I mean, that's a different. I don't know.
But
I mean, arguably.
Try,
well, there is a. It's, I don't know, try. I mean, there is an idea of doing a mitzvah as an enum supervosa. Their mitzvahs are good for you, and there are benefits to doing mitzvahs. And, I mean, there's a value to doing a mitzvah, even if one's not obligated. So, and if a woman wants to do it, she definitely could. You know?
And
I mean, there are practical problems with that, but in theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Yeah. Orthodox.
Orthodox.
I went to a conservative reform camp
when
I was like 19.
Oh, yeah.
I was a counselor.
Uh-huh.
And they had two
Maybe
different minyanim.
Really? Oh, really? Oh, that's
like,
funny.
More like Orthodox
uh-huh.
side and more.
Oh,
and my friend once took me to the other one.
Really?
And I didn't realize. I turned around and there was a girl putting on tzitzit.
Really? Oh, wow.
And my friend told me after, she's like, you should have seen your face. I just felt like in shock.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, arguably women, of course, could benefit from the Torah, even though they don't have those mitzvahs. But that's a different discussion, which is beyond, you know, I don't want to just give an answer off the cuff. It's a good question.
Isaac has a great answer.
Okay, for that question.
For that question, about women too.
Okay. Oh, the woman in town.
Yeah, just like people who have the problem of like, why can't we
okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to try and say that. He just had like
just
a great,
you're
like,
putzer doesn't
think he
doesn't
really
can't do this. Like, shofar, you can go and listen to shofar even if you